Welcome in to the first edition of the Weekend Watch List. Yes, this is a new show on SnowTap. So this will be replacing the Daily Tap on Fridays. Basically what this is, we will be running through the top 10 things to watch over the weekend. I feel like it is a vital resource to know exactly what you want to watch from Friday to Sunday, in this case, Friday to Monday, and also like because you just don't have time to watch everything. So this gives you an outlet to be like, oh yeah, Charlie talked about this, and like we're going to preview these games. Like we're not going to just like run through a list of 10 and be like, okay, we're done, see you later. No, we're going to talk about them. We're going to get into sort of the meat of it. We're always usually going to stay local first. I have a little surprise at the end of this one that is local. But it'll always stay local first. So if you're just like, I just need to know about the weekend series for the Brewers or the Bucks or the Packers, Badgers, whatever, that'll be always up front. And then we'll talk about some other stuff happening around the sporting world. Obviously, college football getting started. That will be a bevy of our conversation today. But excited. Hopefully going to keep it in 20 minutes. We'll see, though. First times for everything. So we don't know how long or how short this will be. All right. Before we get started, you guys know if you want to make sure that you're following all the different SnowTap Network shows, right on SnowTap WI, you have it all. What's great about subscribing to the podcast is we're going to, you know, tag this. It'll be a weekend watch list. You'll know that this is a different podcast than the Daily Tap. So that's how to get it done a couple of different ways. All right, let's get into it. So to start, obviously the Wisconsin Badgers play Western Kentucky tonight at 8 o'clock. The Badgers open up the season as about a 35-point favorite, somewhere around there. They are a heavy favorite here as the number 4 team in the nation. A lot of hype going into this season. We've talked about that obsessively, I think, for the last month. What do you watch tonight? I think you keep a close eye on the receivers, right? I don't expect Wisconsin to throw the ball too much. I know that they'll be run first, especially in a game that should be a blowout and that should be one to take care of business early on. But with Quintez Cephas and Danny Davis both out for this game, I'm very interested to see what the receivers do. I'm interested to see, you know, other guys like AJ Taylor and a few others to try to take over. Kendrick Pryor being another one. You know, can they have this stronger receiving core versus, you know, or is it going to be sort of what we've seen in the past? Is Hornibrook going to struggle when he does step back to pass? Another, I guess, important thing is putting your foot down early, right? Like, Wisconsin can't fuck around here. Like, don't get anybody injured. Just win this game in the first half, put everybody on ice in the second half, and you're good to go. And I think that would be ideal. Don't have anything like Utah State last year where you let Utah State believe they could hang and then you put 55 on them unanswered in the second half. You just don't want to start slow. You just would rather not start slow. I get it. It doesn't really matter that much. But it still would be nice for Wisconsin to just get off on the right foot, get themselves rolling, and not have to worry about, you know, sort of the, I don't know, just like have, I think like it's like a weird way that these cupcake games, these games where the spread is higher than 28, higher than 4 touchdowns, you worry about injuries because it's somewhat of a meaningless game. Granted, anything can happen on any given night. Western Kentucky could go out there and stun the world, which would be a massive story, and we know it would be just absolute hell for Wisconsin, but the odds are very much against them. So Wisconsin needs to come out. They need to stomp their foot down, and they then need to just say, all right, we're putting everybody on ice. Get ready for New Mexico next week. All right, moving on to the Brewers. So the Brewers have a big series this weekend in the nation's capital. They play Washington. The Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the Nats earlier on this summer at home. They faced Tanner Roark tonight, who was a thorn in their side. Roark struck out 7, was dominant against the Brewers prior to all the trades. So now they have Mike Moustakas, might add a little bit. Christian Yelich is red hot, just on complete fire right now. So, you know, they definitely have an opportunity. And today is kind of one you got to win, because Steven Strasburg on Saturday and then Max Scherzer on Sunday. Should be fun to watch the Brewers try to compete with Scherzer. we'll see how it goes. So definitely would like to win both first two games. We'll see if the day games tested. The Brewers are 4-0 in their last four day games. So that would be a test with Scherzer. Real test for, speaking of tests, Junior Guerra is on the mound, or ESPN has him slated on Sunday. Guerra has been struggling of late. This could be his last hurrah, his last great stand. We'll see if Junior Guerra steps up to the moment. And they have Aaron Brooks that'll be ready to go, who's a you have to make room on his 40 man, not the former Saints player. He's a pitcher. He was a starter for the Sky Sox. And then also, too, Zach Davies is up. Zach Davies is scheduled to pitch Monday against the Cubs. I personally don't really like having Davies restart his season against Chicago unless the leash is very short and it could mean a Josh Hader appearance like in the fourth inning, and that, you know, this team knows that it'll be a bullpen game and we won't let Zach have that long of a leash. But that's another story for another podcast. Moving on back to college football, Michigan-Notre Dame, a classic rivalry, gets going again, 6:30 on NBC. This thing has the vibes of a Big Ten game. Now, I know Notre Dame is an independent with the ACC partnership, but both teams return a ton of defensive starters. Rashawn Gary from Michigan is a premier defender. It is the year of the defensive line, folks. Like Ed Oliver, Christian Wilkins, Rashawn Gary. I mean, there are defensive linemen out the ass this year. It is a very special year for D linemen. And so Michigan's no different. Notre Dame also returns 9 guys. They don't have sort of the headline players as Michigan does, but they are very good, and they will pose a challenge to Shea Patterson. We'll get his first look at sort of the gunslinger from Ole Miss. I'm interested to watch Shea Patterson with Michigan. I think this will be a really fun game. I'd bet the under if I were you, and I would probably take Notre Dame. I think I get it that this is a very big game for the Big Ten. Like, if the Big Ten really thinks they are the best conference in the nation, they win this game. But I think it's really hard for a quarterback, even though he's been here before, to transfer in and head into a hostile environment like Notre Dame and win game one is definitely a challenge. So I'm gonna take Notre Dame. I don't know. Hopefully Michigan doesn't embarrass the Big Ten and does okay. I think be somewhere around the lines of 17-14. All right, Washington-Auburn. This is a neutral site game. Fuck neutral site games forever. The worst. But this will be a neutral site game in Atlanta. Washington comes all the way across the United States to play this one. Huge moment for Washington. Now, Washington wins this game, they kind of put themselves a little bit in a driver's seat for the college football playoffs. Now, that sounds ridiculous, right? It's week one. Like, how much can you put yourself in the driver's seat for the playoff? Here's the thing. Washington is one of the best teams in their conference. They are definitely a premier team in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is not deep yet again. So Washington really has Stanford is the only team that could get in their way. Other than that, Washington doesn't have the sort of the depth that like a Wisconsin does with their schedule, where if Wisconsin loses the one Big Ten team, it's not the end of the world. If Washington loses to Auburn and then they lose to a Pac-12 team, they are likely eliminated from contention. Now, Auburn is a very interesting side of it as well, because Auburn is being considered sort of a sleeper in the college football playoff. Auburn has a pretty cake schedule after this. They do not travel far this year. Jared Stidham's a stud at quarterback. Somehow he's still in school, ladies and gentlemen. Very Van Wilder of him. But Auburn, will Gus, that's the thing to watch. Will Gus Malzahn's run and gun be able to, or will Chris Patterson's defense be able to slow down Malzahn's run and gun? I think that is the like headline. That's what ABC will probably be talking about. Should be a really fun game. I know that it's a very unique matchup, and I'm always in for unique Power 5 matchups to start the season. All right, Miami-LSU on Sunday. So a little, the best thing about Labor Day weekend in college football is the fact that we get a Sunday game, we get a Monday game. So literally this week, and I always say this, but this week is football on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Day off on Tuesday, day off on Wednesday, Thursday football, college football Friday, Saturday, first NFL Sunday, and Monday. This is an absolute marathon of college and pro football until really the 12th, and then we can all sort of take a collective break. This is such an exciting week. I'm so fired up for it. Miami-LSU on Sunday. So this game is being played at another neutral site, roll your eyes, at Arlington, Texas. I have so many questions about LSU. LSU only returns four seniors. They are a very young team. They're starting a transfer quarterback in Joe Burrow from Ohio State, dual threat. I feel like you got to bet the house on Miami. I mean, I know it's going to be a public play. I know it's going to be very chalky to be like, bet the house on Miami and the Sharps may go with LSU. But this just seems too obvious. Malik Rozier's back for Miami. Miami has a few other key cogs in their arsenal. Now, they did lose Braxton Berrios. But, like, how do you bet against Miami in this game? LSU just, to me, has way too many questions. But I don't know. I think Miami does win this game pretty handily, actually. I think this could be our first real boring Sunday night game. By the way, Washington-Auburn, I have Washington by like 1 point. I think it's 21-20. I think it's an awesome game. Moving away from college football for a second to talk about the golf tournament this weekend. So not only will you have football until Monday, you will have golf till Monday. They are teeing off as I tape this podcast, and it should be a great tournament. You have the Dell Technology Championship. It is round duh of the FedEx playoffs. You have guys vying for that top 30 position. So it's, top 50, right? Top 50. It significantly cuts from 98 to 50. No Ricky Fowler. They took the top 100. No Ricky Fowler with an oblique injury, which is really interesting to watch, given the fact that the Ryder Cup is less than a month away and Fowler is still battling this oblique injury. And you just have to wonder, will there be another captain's pick? Will Fowler bow out of the Ryder Cup? I don't know. That is a great question. And where it'll be interesting to watch who is the alternates. Jim Furyk will pick his Ryder Cup team, assuming the captain picks are going to be Bryson DeChambeau, who won last week, Tiger Woods. I don't think it should be Phil Mickelson, but a lot of people think it'll be Phil Mickelson. So I will adhere to the experts and Tony Finau. I think it should be Xander Schauffele, but that's here nor there. And then obviously there could be an important alternate if Ricky Fowler cannot go with that oblique injury. So with the golf tournament itself, Justin Thomas won last year. Definitely one where a lot of guys can contend. I picked Billy Horschel for a one and done, sort of out of blue. Patrick Reed definitely could be contending after his bullshit tweet this weekend. Tweeted the PGA Tour and was mad about his tickets at Fenway and was in the line drive section, which apparently there is a line drive section at Fenway, and then paid $650 to sit front row. Poor fucking you, Patrick Reed. I mean, sometimes golfers, and really any athlete, just needs to have that tinge of self-awareness. You paid $650. I'm guessing that's with everybody. Your mom, I think it was their sister-in-law, and his wife. Like, okay, who gives a fuck? It's your choice, dude. Like, don't get mad at us because you're the one who's not happy with your tickets. Justin Thomas And like you look at the juxtaposition of Justin Thomas had like this picture of the sunset at Fenway Park, like happy as a clam to be there. So I don't know. It's just dumb. But yeah, no, we'll keep an eye on who can make some noise this weekend in Boston, in the last tour event at the Dell Technology in TPC Boston. All right, back to college football for a second. Florida Atlantic, Oklahoma. Oh my God, the offense in this game. Now, this game is a 21-point, there's a 21-point spread on this. Kyler Murray, not to be confused, Nolan Murphy, has a lot of hype on him. Kyler Murray is a first-round draft pick for the Oakland A's, and he will be playing football this year. Like, if we had drops for these, I'd be like, hail to the no, to no, 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 hail no. Like, what are you doing? Like, I appreciate you being a dual sport athlete. Like, that's fucking cool, man. But if I had a multi-million dollar deal to go play baseball, I am not thinking fucking once about football. Like, I love football. I played football in college. But still, if I had a major deal to play baseball, I am not playing football. So, extremely risky move by Kyler Murphy. Murray, I'm going to do that a lot. But yeah, because I'm always thinking about my boy Nolan, especially when we're talking Florida Atlantic. That's kind of his school down in the West Palm area. They are up against it, obviously, headed to Oklahoma. I guess it's going to be really hot, so maybe that affects sort of the amount of scoring that I'm expecting here. But yes, Lane Kiffin is not going to go down without a fight. So that's why if you're picking Oklahoma to cover, you better be careful. You better be careful because Florida Atlantic has the offense to compete in this game. I'm not saying they can win it, but they can compete and keep that spread under that 21. I think you go with Florida Atlantic plus the 21 here. And like I said, so this is a weekend watch. Like we're going to go back and forth and back and forth looking at baseball again. So the Cubs and Phillies play this weekend. I don't know if it's on TV at all. Just more to keep an eye on it, obviously, as the Brewers hope for maybe the division. But in a plot twist here, remember, the Phillies are competing for the wild card spot. So even if the Cubs run ramshot on the Phillies this weekend, that is a good thing for the Brewers, if the Brewers win, obviously. So that is good stuff. So the more the Brewers win, and if the Cubs win, it does still help them with the Phillies. Now, if the Phillies come out and do what we just said about, you know, do vice versa, that would be huge for the Brewers if the Brewers can take advantage. I mean, of course, today, Brewers get a big win, and then the Cubs and Cardinals can't lose two straight. So they obviously both won, and that's that. All right. Last two things, West Virginia versus Tennessee. I'm not really that excited about it. You get a neutral field, which is trash in Charlotte. Why is this game being played in fucking Charlotte? First matchup between these two teams. Basically, the only reason you watch this game in 2:30 is just seeing what kind of magic Will Grier can do as he makes a case for the Heisman with David Sills. Greer and Sills is a great quarterback wide receiver combo. Very expensive DK pairing if you're into that sort of thing. But yes, that should be a very fun game. I think West Virginia rolls over Tennessee. I think West Virginia is another good bet in terms of betting a favorite. And then now the final thing, and I promise to be a little unique, but Packers cuts are Saturday. So that is definitely something to watch. Will Jake Kumerow make the team? Will Raven Green get a spot? What are they going to do about a guy like Trevor Davis, who apparently they're looking at trades for Trevor Davis and Quentin Rollins, was a report yesterday. What's going to happen with the Packers roster? Will Joel Bergeron make the team over Devontae Mays? I actually think Bergeron definitely deserves it, personally. Aaron Jones obviously established himself, but he's going to be suspended for two games. But he looked really good in preseason, just as an aside when we're talking running backs. I mean, there are very much questions. Will the Packers keep 9 or 10 offensive linemen? I mean, there are a lot of hard decisions that Brian Gutekunst has to make from now until Saturday, whenever the white smoke appears from 1265 Lambeau. And I know there's going to be things, some or Lombardi, 12, that's embarrassing, 1265 Lombardi. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of tough decisions to be made. Some people have advocated, could Randall Cobb get caught? I don't think Randall Cobb will get caught. I think that is sort of a little bit of an extension of people like Mike Lombardi a little too much. But I don't think that'll happen. I don't think Randall Cobb will get traded. I don't think the Packers are going to make the deal for Khalil Mack this weekend. I said Aaron Rodgers would be signed on Sunday. That happened already on Wednesday, so that's taken care of. I really think that they're going to really assess this roster and see what exactly they all need. The only thing we really know about is Tim Boyle making the team and them having three quarterbacks. We'll see if seven wide receivers make it. Robert Tyon could make it over Lance Kendricks. That would actually, I think, be a surprise, if you will. But that is what the Daily Tap will focus on tomorrow at some point. A little busy on Saturday. I have a little thing that I got to do. So I'm hopefully going to have some time to not only sit down with college football, but also talk about the Packer cuts. We'll also recap what happened with the Badgers last night and preview the Brewers for Saturday and look a little bit back at yesterday as well. So we'll talk about all of that. Happy to have weekend watch list in the books for the Labor Day. We will be back next Friday to talk about the first week of the NFL, second week of college football, how I will miss some of it because I'm at a wedding. That's a story for next week. And then also preview what's going on with the Brewers, who will be in town to face the Giants. All right, we'll be back next week. Look forward to it then. Take care. Bye.